Let's take the Word of God this morning. We will go to the Old Testament, to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. If you have been with us on any time on Sunday mornings, you know that we have been on this journey, journeying through God's Word. And specifically, we have been looking at the life of David. In fact, this is the 40th message in the book of 1 Samuel. It's amazing. There is so much for us here. And today, as we come to the life of David, if you remember last week, David was actually getting ready to go into battle with the Philistines. Not against the Philistines, but with them. And David is getting ready to go fight his own people. But God, in His infinite mercy and love, God allowed David to be out of that situation. David was out of place, as I spoke on last week, but God's grace was still sufficient for him. And God allowed the kings of the Philistines to become disturbed and said, David, he's not coming with us. David is the one that they sang the song about, that Saul has slain his thousands, but David tens of thousands. So David left. And David was on his journey back to where he had lived for the last 16 months. You see, David, out of desperation, and David, out of a lack of faith and trust in God, had fled to the land of the Philistines. And there, David became good friends with one of the kings, the king of Achish. Well, the king of Achish gave David this city called Ziklag. And there, David and his 600 mighty men, and all of the wives and children and David's parents and his siblings, and all of them are with David at Ziklag. But think, David is not there at this moment, because David has come to join with the Philistines to fight against the Israelites. But God, in His mercy, delivered David from that. And he's on his way back. But when he gets to Ziklag, something terrible has happened. David is at the point of probably his greatest point of discouragement and despair. Let's read it together. 1 Samuel chapter 30, and we come to verse number 1. The Bible says this: And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But would you notice in verse 6, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after the troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Bezer, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Bezer. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. And my master left me because 3 days had gone. I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah and upon the south of Caleb. And we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that he had, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that had taken to them. David recovered all. Now in this story that we read this morning is one of my favorite stories in all of God's Word. There's a little phrase that we find in verse number 6 where the Bible says, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And brethren, this morning, I want to speak to you on this subject. How do you and I encourage ourselves in the Lord? Have you ever become discouraged? You know something, discouragement is something that we all are very familiar with. Discouragement is something that can come to each and every one of us, no matter what it may be. In fact, some of the greatest preachers that we have known of years gone by struggled with bouts of great depression. I am told G. Campbell Morgan, who's one of my favorite authors, I have many of his books in my office, and a man of God that knew the Lord. On G. Campbell Morgan's 10th anniversary, he came up to the pulpit, and on his 10th anniversary of his great church there in London, and he stood behind the pulpit, and he told the people, he said, I am a failure. After 10 years of pastoring a great church, and God had blessed it. And I began to study a little bit about G. Campbell Morgan's life, and about the lives of many pastors and men that want to do something for God, and maybe many of us. You see, most pastors have ideas in their mind of what they want God to do. And when those ideals are never reached, a pastor may feel like he is a failure. Charles Haddon Spurgeon had bouts of depression where his men, his deacons, had to go and beg him to come and preach at church. He was so discouraged about his own self. I'm told about Abraham Lincoln that when he was a young man, he was so discouraged and they were so afraid what he might do that they took all the knives away from him and took anything out of his home that he could hurt himself with. And he said to someone, he said, I am the most miserable man on earth. But yet Abraham Lincoln was one of the greatest presidents that our country has ever known. Men like Alexander Wyatt, men like, as I said, Charles Spurgeon, men of God that were used of God, they dealt with discouragement. Can I tell you something this morning? Discouragement is probably one of the greatest tools that the devil uses in each and every one of our lives. You see, if the devil can get us discouraged and get our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ, he can bring us to a place of despair and despondency where we no longer will trust God and depend upon the Lord. I'm reminded back in the 1970s, there was a great coach by the name of Pepper Rogers. Pepper Rogers was a great, fantastic football coach, specifically at this time for the UCLA. But at a certain point in UCLA's history, during the 1970s, they were not winning football games. In fact, you know how it is. It's kind of, if you're playing football, you have to win. If not, you have to leave, you know? And so Pepper Rogers was so discouraged. And he looked back upon this time and he told someone, he said, I was so discouraged that he said, I felt like that my best friend was my dog. That was my best friend that I had. And he said, in fact, one day I was with my wife and I said, honey, I'm so discouraged during this time. People are criticizing me and people are calling for my resignation and all of this. And he said, "Honey, I feel like my best friend is my dog." And he looked at his wife, hoping maybe she would kind of, you know, encourage him. And he said, "Honey, you know, every man needs at least two best friends." And his wife went out and bought him another dog, you know. And sometimes in life, we can become to the point of grave discouragement. A time when we're so discouraged, we can't even pray. We're so discouraged, we can't even read God's word. We're so discouraged, we get out of church. We're discouraged about the present circumstances. We're discouraged about the future. We're discouraged about the past. Discouragement is something that plagues each and every one of us. But the problem is, what do we do when we reach that point? Someone said this, which I think is very good. Discouragement is dissatisfaction with the past. It is distaste for the present, and it's a distrust of the future. You see, discouragement is an ingratitude for the blessings of yesterday. It's indifference to the opportunities of today, and it is insecurity about tomorrow. You see, discouragement is an unawareness of the presence of beauty, an unconcern for the needs of our fellow man, and it's unbelief in the promises of old. Discouragement is impatience with the time. It's immaturity of thought. And it's impoliteness to our God. Can you say this morning, "I've never dealt with discouragement, Pastor"? Brethren, all of us have dealt with times of great discouragement. Times in which we look upon our lives and we are discouraged. Maybe it's discouragement with our own selves and in our minds. We don't measure up to where we think we should be in our lives. And by the way, comparison is the most dangerous thing that you and I can ever do to ourselves. When we compare ourselves with someone else, I want you to remember this. To compare is always to despair. You see, when I compare myself with someone else and think I should be like them and I should be able to do what they do and I should be able to have the blessings that they have, we are setting ourselves up for great despondency and great despair in our lives. When you compare your situation with someone else's situation, your home with someone else's home, your blessings with someone else's blessings, your discouraging times with someone's lack of discouraging times. When we do that, we are at the point in life where the devil has created his greatest stronghold in our life. Well, here is David. David is distressed. In fact, the Bible tells us that his men in verse number 4 and himself, look what it says in 1 Samuel 30 verse 4, "Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep." Have you ever been at a place in life where you weep maybe over the loss of a loved one? Over something so disheartening and something so troubling in your life that you weep to where you can weep no more. You have no more tears left. You have no more power to weep. That is where David has come to. Here is David. David knows that God has delivered him. I mean, he's quite in a difficult situation. He's getting ready to go to fight against his own people. And God delivered David miraculously from that. And here is David. David is on his way back to Ziklag. Maybe there's a little spring in his step. Maybe David's pretty excited. "I've seen God work and God took me out of that situation." But when David gets close to Ziklag, he sees the smoke billowing in the air. And David thinks to himself, "What is that?" And they get a little closer, and all that David finds is ashes everywhere. His house is burnt to the ground. All of his men, they are weeping. Can you see them in your mind rushing, running to find their children, to find their wives, to find their livestock, to find everything that they possess? It is there in Ziklag, and the men are distressed. The men are weeping. No doubt men are laying down in the ashes where their homes and their wives and their children once were. And they're weeping and they're sobbing uncontrollably until they have no more power to weep. And then guess what happens? The men are so distraught. The men feel like they have to blame someone, so they blame David. "David, this is your fault. David, you took us away from Ziklag. If we'd have been here, this would have never happened, David." And now the men speak of stoning the very man that they love and that they are following. David is in a tough place. In fact, who does David turn to? Is David's dad there? No. Is David's family there? No. Is David's wife there? No, I thank God for my wife. And I'll tell you something. I could not be the pastor of this church without the wife that God has given me. She encourages me. She strengthens me. She bears a lot to be a pastor's wife. And she takes upon herself much. And so often, my wife and I spend a lot of time talking and a lot of time conversing with one another. She is my helpmeet. She is suitable for me. She strengthens me. But where does David turn to? He doesn't have that. He does not have the joy of his children by his side. He does not have the joy of any friends because they've all forsaken him. David is alone, but in David's greatest need, an hour of encouragement, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Look here, you may not be in a place in your life right now. It might be a good time. It might be that for you the blessings are coming and the victories are yours and the joy is abounding in your life, but you might be on the other side. You might be when thoughts are troubling you. You might be at a time when you just lost your job, or maybe when things are not turning out the way you hoped they would turn out. You might be at a place of grave discouragement this morning, but how can you and I encourage ourselves in the Lord? Number one, I want you to notice some things this morning. We encourage ourselves in the Lord, number one, by searching the past blessings of God. Now, can I ask you something? What did David really do here? God's word is very silent about, it simply says in verse number 6, look at the very part, the very end of verse number 6. It says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. But God does not tell us what he did. God does not say, David went to a certain place and this is what he did. But I believe that as we search Scripture with Scripture, we can find out what David did to encourage himself in the Lord his God. Because I need to learn to encourage myself in the Lord my God. Because brethren, the devil plagues us with thoughts. The devil puts thoughts in your mind. Look, he'll put thoughts in your mind that you're not making a difference in this world. You have failed in the past and you'll probably fail in the future. The devil will compare you with someone else because he is the accuser of the brethren. And the devil will accuse you to God and he accuses you to yourself. And the devil reminds you of all your sin in the past. He reminds you of all your faults and failures. He reminds us of all of that. And the devil plagues our mind. And if we allow those thoughts to take root in our heart, if we allow those thoughts to began to produce fruit in our lives, we become bitter. We become disillusioned about life. By the way, I've thought about discouragement. You know what discouragement leads to? It leads to doubt. It leads to disbelief. Discouragement leads to selfishness, because when we are discouraged, we are consumed with us, with our problems, with our needs, with our difficulties. Discouragement leads to anger. Discouragement leads to carelessness with our words, and we say things that we wish to God we had never said. Discouragement leads to despair in our life. It leads to murmuring and complaining. It leads to leaving ourselves open to sin and temptation of the flesh. You see, discouragement that is cherished in our hearts will lead to despondency and despair in our lives. Martin Luther was one of the greatest preachers of years gone by. In fact, Martin Luther was the man who nailed the 95 thesis on the church door at Wittenberg, and God used him to bring about that great Reformation. But you know that Martin Luther struggled with discouragement in his life. He struggled with depression in his heart, and he went through a bout of time when he was so discouraged. He was married to a woman by the name of Catherine Luther. And one day when Martin Luther came home, he had gone through a few days of this discouragement. His wife tried to help him, and nothing seemed to penetrate his gloominess of his heart and all of that. And one day he came home, and when he walked in the door, he seen his wife, and she was dressed in all black, and she had a black veil on, mourning clothes. And he looked at her and he said, Catherine, did someone die? She said, oh yes, someone died. He said, well, I didn't hear about anybody dying. Who died? And she said, God died. And he said, woman, this is foolishness. God has not died. And she said, well, you would think that God died if the great Dr. Martin Luther had lived so gloomy and so self-consumed the last few days. He got the message that morning. You see, brethren, when I live with discouragement, do you know in a sense I'm saying God's dead? In a sense, I'm saying God is not able to help me. God is not able to lift me above this thing. David, I don't know how he did it. I don't really understand, because here is his men speaking of stoning him. David has lost everything. He has lost all his possessions. He has lost his wives. He has lost everything. It is gone. And by the way, those men think they're dead. They've drugged them off somewhere and killed them. I mean, those men have no hope. And I'll tell you what I would have done. And what most of us would have done in that moment, we'd have grabbed every weapon we could have grabbed and we'd run off in haste. But David did something differently. David stopped in that moment of great discouragement and he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And brethren, when you and I encourage ourselves in the Lord, we must search out the past blessings of God. Every year on Christmas Day, I give my wife a book, and it's a book that you can obviously get made today in time in which we live in our technology, but it's a day about the whole past year, and it has pictures in the book, and it pictures about, you know, at Christmas time, and it has pictures about school and basketball and volleyball with the kids, and it has pictures about going to camp and summer vacation and pictures about different activities and all of that. And I'm going to tell you something. When I look through that book, can I tell you what it does? It reminds me of the past blessings of God. It reminds me God took care of us there, and God blessed with that family, and God answered prayer in this way, and God did this. In fact, years ago when I worked as an assistant pastor at a church, there was a lady that was right outside my office. She was old enough to be my grandmother. Her name was Miss Lydia. Miss Lydia kept a book called her blessing book. And I would see her looking at it sometimes. And I would ask her, Miss Lydia, what you doing there? And she was saying, well, I'm looking at my blessing book. You know what she did? She kept a journal. She kept a journal of every time that God answered a prayer in her life. She kept a journal of all the blessings of God and how that God met her needs and God took care of her and God blessed her children and God blessed her husband, and her husband had already been with the Lord. And she kept a journal, and when times of discouragement, she went back to that book and she searched through it and she reminded herself of all the past blessings of God. And here is what I believe. David, in that lonely time, he finds a place in the smoldering ashes of Ziklag, and he finds a place where he's discouraged and he's disheartened and he doesn't know if he'll ever find his family again, and the men are going to stone him. David finds a place and he gets alone with God and he begins to remind himself of the past blessings and the past answers to prayer. I believe that David sat down and thought about that day he was out tending the sheep and a lion came out to take the sheep. And God supernaturally enabled David, and God delivered David that day. I remember the day that the bear came out. David is thinking, no doubt, and God delivered me out of the hand of the bear. And David probably thinks, I remember that day I stood as a teenager, and there was that 9-foot-9-inch tall giant by the name of Goliath. And God delivered me that day. And God took care of me. I remember sitting in the palace and playing the harp. And King Saul, out of jealousy, took the javelin and threw it at me. And God delivered me that day. And David is rehearsing. He is reminding himself of the past blessings of God. I'm going to tell you what we do. And let me just say what I do. When I'm discouraged, I forget about all God's blessings. I forget about all God's goodness. I forget about the answered prayer. I forget about His love and His mercy. I forget about how that God has delivered me in times past. And I forget about all that. And we seem to become blind to the goodness of God. We encourage ourselves in the Lord when we search out all the past blessings of God. Take your Bibles and let's go to a passage that I believe that David is doing this very thing. Let's go to Psalm chapter number 63. Psalm chapter 63. You see, brethren, when we look about us, and the situation looks hopeless, what do we do? Do we just give up? Do we just sit down? Do we just say, that's it, I'm done? By the way, can I say this to you? Do you know the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God? He didn't encourage himself by himself. And I'll tell you what we do. If you look inward, you'll become so discouraged in life because, brethren, there is nothing good in man. What did Paul say? Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Look, if you look at yourself and you think about your victories, you don't have any. If you think about your goodness, you have no goodness. If we think about what we have accomplished, what we have done, it'll just lead you to further despondency and further discouragement. But brethren, when we look up to our God and see and remind ourselves of how God has answered prayer, I'm reminded of Hudson Taylor, one of the great missionaries of years gone by. Hudson Taylor struggled with discouragement at grave times in his life. So one day, he took a plaque and he put two Hebrew words on the plaque, the word Ebenezer and the word Jehovah Jireh. And every time he put it by the door, so every time he went out the door and every time he came in the door, he saw those two words. The word Ebenezer means this: hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And the word Jehovah Jireh means God will provide. And you know what he was saying? I want to be reminded of all the things that God has done in the past for me. And then I want to know that that same God is the God who's going to meet my every need today. You know something? If you did this, and if I did this, during times of great discouragement, if we took a piece of paper out and began to write down the blessings that God has done for us, you'd have to get more paper. You'd have to get reams of paper. You'd have to get encyclopedias of paper. You know why? Because none of us can mark down all of the blessings that God has been to us in our life. And if God loved us then, He never changes. He still loves us today. And David is reminding himself of what God has done for him. And God protected him. And God has delivered him. I'm sure David sat there in those ashes of Ziklag and began to think about the day when Samuel came to anoint him to be king. And God promised him that day that he was going to come to the throne. You see, David is searching out the blessings of God. Let's go to Psalm 63. I believe you're there. Notice what the Bible says. Psalm 63 and verse number 1. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up mine hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. Look in verse 6. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches. You know what the night watches was? Is when David couldn't sleep at night. It was when David, he was fearful for his life in the night watches. David said, I'm going to remember what You have done. I'm going to meditate and muse over the things that You have done. We read on. He says in verse 7, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. You know what David said? God, I'm going to remember the blessings. I'm going to remember Your goodness in my life. I'm going to remember Your deliverances. I'm going to remember that, God, You saved me and You protected me and You put Your hand to blessing. And brethren, each and every one of us, we could file up to this platform today and we could come up here and we could talk about all the blessings of God. It would put tears in every eye here. But you know what happens in a moment of discouragement? We forget about all that. We're blinded to it. Why? Because the devil wants to blind us to the goodness of God. Take your Bibles. You're in Psalm 63. Go to 103. Psalm chapter 103, if you would please. Psalm chapter 103. Can I ask you something today in your heart? Look at David. He's alone. Boy, I don't know of a man more alone than David at this moment. But where was God? Where was God when David was sitting there in the heap ashes? His men are going to kill him. He's lost his wives, his family. They're gone. And by the way, look here. David is also thinking he should have never been in Ziklag. Do you understand the very thing that David put his faith and confidence and trust in is now burnt to the ground? He trusted in man, and guess what? Man could not save him. David, no doubt, is thinking, if I'd have never come here, if I'd have trusted God, this wouldn't have happened. So now David has remorse, and now David has guilt in his heart, and David could have sat there in the ashes and died at Ziklag. And guess what? I've been at Ziklag many times, and I've sat there, and I've sat there, and I've sat there. And I'm going to tell you what happens. You get more and more discouraged and more despondent. David could have sat there and said, look at me, look what I've done. I could have trusted God, and I didn't, No, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And brethren, no matter where you are at in your life, you might be at a Ziklag. You might be looking at all the ashes around you. And it might be because you, like David, went away from God for a moment in your life. It might be that you failed to trust God, and I failed to trust God. And now we're in the ashes of a Ziklag. But the God of heaven is still the God for you and me, even at Ziklag. He's still the God that forgives, and the God that cleanses, and the God that washes us, and the God that restores us. Look in Psalm 103. I love this psalm. Here, notice what the Bible says. David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. What are His benefits? Well, let's read on. Who forgiveth, verse 3, all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Look here, let's just stop right there. What has God forgiven you and me of? That's one of His benefits. What has He healed us of? Look in verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that the youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father. Well, I like that. God is your father. He's my father. Look at this. Like as a father pitieth His children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He remembereth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. And brethren, that day when David was sitting in the ashes of Ziklag, David reminds himself of God's goodness. He reminds himself how God has blessed him. And it encourages David's heart. It strengthens David in his life. Look here, do you know that David did not have the Bible like we have it? David didn't have him an old Schofield Bible that day. David couldn't go to the local bookstore and buy him a Bible, because, brethren, he didn't have the Bible like we have it, because most of it hadn't been written by that time. David, we know, probably at that time had probably the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And David was writing the Psalms at this time. So, brethren, what did David do? David reminds himself. He searches all the past blessings of God. But I also believe he did this. I believe that David began to think about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and how that they sinned against God and they took of the forbidden fruit. And David began to think about, did God leave them in their despair? Oh no, God came walking in the cool of the day and said, Adam, where art thou? God searched them out. And God was that same God that would search David out. Even when he sinned and even when he failed God, God was there to help him. I believe that God reminded David that day about Moses. Moses, when he was 40 years of age, killed an Egyptian man and hid him in the sand. Moses had to flee for his life, and he spent 40 more years on the backside of the desert. And here is Moses at 80, and God comes to him, and God works through and breaks through in his life. David probably thought about Joseph. Joseph was 17 years of age when his brother sold him into slavery. Joseph went away for nothing he'd ever done. And for 20 long years, Joseph never saw one of his brethren ever in his life. But God meant it unto good in Joseph's life. And God came through. Look, David was not reminding himself of all that these men had done. He was reminding himself of what God had done for these men. And brethren, that is how you and I can encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. We search out the past blessings of God. You know what? It might do us good for some of us to get our own little journal and to write down the blessings of God and to remember. You see, I believe that when we encourage ourselves in the Lord, we have more than what David had. We have the precious Word of God. And I'm going to tell you what God's Word does for you. It cleanses your thinking. And by the way, you know what? When we are discouraged, we don't think right. We don't think right about God. We don't think right about our families. We don't think right about our circumstances. And God's Word clears up our thinking. And God's Word reminds us and it encourages us and it strengthens us. But God has given us many faith builders in our life. You know what those are? Those are times when God did not forsake us. And by the way, He has never forsaken us. Those are times that we thought it was going to be over and it was done and we were never going to get through this, but God seen us through and He led us through. That is how David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He searched out the past blessings of God. Number two, we encourage ourselves in the Lord by speaking to ourselves about the Lord. Now, I've got news for you this morning. Every one of us here today, we talk to ourselves. Now you may say, Pastor, if they hear you, they'll lock you up, you know. We all talk to ourselves. In fact, you may not talk to yourself out loud, but you do talk to yourself in your heart. And I talk to myself in my heart. You see, it's called meditating. It's called the murmuring. By the way, we all murmur in our heart. Have you ever gone to bed with something that you've been thinking about and you wake up and you're thinking about it again? Why? Because you went to bed with that on your heart and mind. And you're thinking about it. And you've got in your mind what you're going to do. Maybe you're upset at someone. Well, that's a good one. You know what? You'll wake up with some of the greatest things to say to that person to really get at them, you know? Well, look, you've talked to yourself about this. You've convinced yourself things that are not even true. You have talked to yourself and talked to yourself. Well, David, I believe in that moment, sitting among the ashes of Ziklag, David began to talk to himself. Let me show you. Take your Bibles. Let's go to Psalm chapter number 42. Psalm chapter number 42. Notice what the Bible tells us here. Now, this is a psalm. And here is a man who is at the place of great discouragement. What does he do? He speaks to himself. We look in Psalm chapter number 42, and I want you to notice something here. The Bible says this in verse number 1, as the hart, that word there is referring to a deer, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And look what he says in verse 3. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Notice this. This man is weeping day and night, and people are condemning him. Where's your God now? And look what he says. Verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. And then look in verse number 5. He starts talking to himself. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Notice here, the psalmist is speaking to himself. Then he turns and speaks to God. He says, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember Thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill of Miser. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now look here. What did David do to encourage himself in the Lord? I believe that David began to search out the past blessings of God, but I believe that David, in that moment of great distress and great discouragement and great despondency, I believe that David began to speak to himself about the Lord. He began to talk to himself about God. And I believe this. Notice the Bible says this. David encouraged himself in the Lord. What does it say? His God. Now, I love that little phrase right there, because I believe what David began to talk to him is about this. David began to remind himself. Maybe David began to speak to himself saying, well, the God of heaven is still my God. The God of heaven, the God who led me here, the God who is going to crown me to be king, is still my God. I can still talk to him, and he still hears me. Because, brethren, God was with David that day. God was closer than his very breath and closer than his hands and feet. God had brought David to that moment of aloneness and that moment of solitude so that David would find that God was his really only hope and God was his really only strength. We sing that song that, you know, years gone by, people have sung it, that Christ is all I need. But brethren, Christ is not all you need until he is all that you have. And David recognized that God was all that he had in that moment. And he spoke to himself that God was his God. You know what he was saying? God is personal to me. God loves me. And brethren, in that moment, there was a conviction that welled up in David's heart. The Amalekites had taken his wives, had taken his children, had taken his possessions, had taken everything that David had, but the Amalekites had not stolen his God. You see, that was what David was speaking to himself about. God, you are my God. And Lord, you will never leave me. You will never forsake me. Lord, you will always take care of me. You see, David is speaking to himself about his God. I believe David thought to himself, they've taken my house. They have taken my city. They have burned it to the ground. They have taken all my possessions. But I can never lose my God. And you know what, brethren, this morning? Every one of us, we're going to lose pretty much everything we have here on earth. Did you know that? We will. But I've got news for you. You will never lose your God today. Now today, I'll tell you this. We are rich this morning if we have our God. But it doesn't matter what you possess in possessions. If you do not have God, you're the poorest man of all. Because David had his God. You know something? We need to stop repeating the lies of the devil in our mind and start speaking the promises of God. We need to stop speaking out of fear and start speaking out of faith. In Ephesians 5:19, the Bible tells us about the Spirit-filled man. He is speaking to himself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in his heart to the Lord. You see, brethren, we all talk to ourselves, but we need to start talking to ourselves about God and his promises and his provisions and remind ourselves that our God will never leave us nor forsake us. You see, that's what David did that day. Would you take your Bibles and let's go back to Psalm chapter 36. I believe the greatest way that we can see what David did and how he encouraged himself in the Lord his God was to look through the book of Psalms. You see, I believe that at Ziklag, when you're all alone and there's no one but God there, that's when you really get to know God. You see, David did not know things about God until after Ziklag. And brethren, can I tell you something? You and I have gone through things in our lives, every one of us, times of heartache and sorrow. Times where we thought that God had forsaken us and God had left us alone and God had not answered our prayer and our dreams, our plans are shattered and gone. But you know what? It was through that time. It was through that Ziklag where you had to draw near to God because you had no one else to turn to. And it was then and there that you learned things about God that you would have never learned about God. That's what God is doing. He's bringing us to Himself. Can I tell you something? There's things about the mercy of God that all of us need to know. Things about His forgiveness. Things about His tenderness and His love. His compassion. His mercy. His pity. His tender care. That you and I will never learn any other place than at a Ziklag sitting in the ashes. But it is there that we know our God. Psalm 36 says this. Notice Psalm 36. Let's begin in verse number 5. David talks about this. He says, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens." Meaning there's no end to God's mercy. "And thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds." Verse 6, "Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep, O Lord. Thou preservest man and beast." Look in verse 7. "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." You know what David did? He began to talk to himself. I believe that David probably said to himself, "I know that I have changed and I've gotten off course, but my God has never changed. And I know that my character changes, but the character of God never changes. And the God who loved me when I was a teenager is the God that loves me today. And the God that forgave me yesterday is the God who forgives me today. And the God who cares about me yesterday has never changed in His care for me. He still cares for me today." And brethren, we have that same God this morning that loves us, and His love never changes, and His care for us never changes. He is the changeless God. And when we speak to ourselves about God, it encourages us. It strengthens us. And it makes us what we should be. Years ago, I heard the story about a great missionary lady. Her name was Gladys Aylward. Now, Gladys Aylward was used of the Lord in a very special way. She was a missionary in China more than 50 years ago. But she was forced to flee when the Japanese had invaded her territory where she was at. And in a moment, she was forced into making a great decision. At the time, she had an orphanage with 100 orphans in it. How were they going to flee and get to the place, what's referred to as Free China? Well, she got all these 100 orphans together and she began to run for her life, taking care of these, praying and trusting God to watch over her. And the war was all around her, bombs and soldiers. And boy, it was a miracle of God that they would not be captured or be hurt by some air raid or whatever may happen. But in one night, she went through a sleepless night. She couldn't sleep, so afraid, thinking of these 100 children that she was to take care of. And the next morning, she was at a place of grave discouragement. I mean, she was in a place of despair. And a little 13-year-old Chinese girl came up to her and said, "Miss Gladys, God is taking care of us. And God is meeting our every need." And she said, "Miss Gladys, this reminds me of Moses and how he led the children of Israel into the promised land. And God took care of them." And Miss Gladys, out of discouraged heart, said to the little girl, almost a sharp tone, she said to the little girl, "Well, I am not Moses." And the little girl, with a twinkle in her eye and a smile upon her face, said, "Oh, I know you're not Moses, but Jehovah is still God." And can I tell you something? Brethren, when we read the stories of years gone by, the God who took care of Moses and Abraham and Joshua and Joseph and Caleb, and the God who took care of Ruth and Hannah, and the God who took care of all of His children, that is my God and that is your God today. And the God that hears and answers prayer is the same God that we serve today. And we can speak to ourselves and remind ourselves that that God will never leave me nor forsake me. And that God cares for me. And that God is here at this very moment. And that God will deliver me in His time. And that God will work all things together for our good. Brethren, that is how we encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. Number 3, the last thing that we notice, how do we encourage ourselves in the Lord our God? Well, we search out the past blessings of God. We remind ourselves of His goodness. Oh, don't forget about His blessings. But number two, we speak to ourselves. We remind ourselves of what God is and that God never changes. But number three, we encourage ourselves in the Lord our God by seeking divine direction from the Lord. Now go back to 1 Samuel chapter number 30 because I want to show this to you. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, we come to something that I think is very important. As I said before, if it had been me that day and I had showed up at Ziklag and my family was gone and everything was gone, you know, in most of our hearts, we just said, let's go. We got to catch him quick. I mean, David had been gone 3 days. How long? I mean, they could have been gone. But David does something that I believe is so important about encouraging ourselves in the Lord our God. During times of discouragement, be very careful about making decisions. Because when you're discouraged, you can make terrible decisions in your life. You can make decisions based on your feelings rather than on faith of God and His Word. You can make decisions on, you can make decisions about leaving a church. You can be discouraged. Someone said something to me they shouldn't have said. Someone did something to me. I didn't like what that pastor preached on, you know. They can be discouraged, and in a moment, the devil put a thought in your mind, I just need to leave. What about a marriage? How does a marriage stay faithful to one another and to God? I believe that the marriage has to be committed, that they're going to make decisions together. But you know what? Many of men have made decisions in a moment of discouragement about their marriage they should have never made. And many of women have made decisions they should have never made. Look here, I've made plenty of decisions in a time of discouragement that I wish to God I'd have never made. You see, we decide things and choose things that are unwise. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, and guess what he did? He sought divine direction. 1 Samuel 30, and notice this. We go back here, and the Bible says, and look in the end of verse 6, and David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. But look in verse 7. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. Now look, we do not need the ephod today because Jesus Christ has died on the cross to pay for our sin debt. He has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And brethren, you and I can go directly into the very throne room of God. But David did not have that privilege. David did not know the Holy Spirit of God as we know it today. David did not, of course, Jesus Christ at this time had not died on the cross, so that therefore men can come boldly into the presence of God. But David had an ephod. The ephod was a piece on the high priest's armor, and it represented prayer. And David, in a sense, was praying to God. And notice in verse number 8, and David inquired at the Lord. Can I say this to you? When I read about David going to Achish and taking Ziklag, do you know that we find nowhere that David inquired of the Lord about that? He did that out of fear. He did that out because he was scared to death because Saul was coming after him. And he's 16 months David lived in Ziklag. And now Ziklag is burnt to the ground in fire. And now, you know what God has done to David? God has burned up everything that David can hold his heart onto. He has delivered David from that Philistine area. David can no longer go back to Ziklag. It's burnt to the ground. God has miraculously intervened in David's life and got David's attention. To now he is seeking God. To now he inquires of the Lord. Now David says, oh God, I need direction in my life. Lord, I've made plenty of mistakes in the past. And Lord, I should have never come to Ziklag. But now, God, I seek thy face. That is a man who has encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And brethren, during times of despair and times of discouragement, we must come to the place to where we seek God and we look to God. And by the way, look where God is taking David. He's taking him to the throne. But brethren, can I tell you this? Look where God is taking you. You see, he has something special for you and me. You see, God is building David, the man, but God is building you, sir, and God is building you, ma'am. And He is working all things together. And He is using all the adverse circumstances of your life to make you the man or woman that God has created you to be. He is allowing things into young people's life, but He's going to make them into what God wants them to be, because that is our God. But as we seek Him in direction, He leads us. He guides us. And by the way, David went. And it is no accident that that man, that Egyptian, got sick. David comes and finds an Egyptian man. David didn't know where to go. They didn't have GPS tracker units during that time, you know. David had no idea where to go, where to find these men. But he found an Egyptian. He was with the Amalekites. He was a servant. And guess what? God allowed that man to get sick. God allowed that man to be there that day because God was working all things together. And you know what? When David found that Egyptian, God was reminding David, I'm in control. I'm on the throne. I'm taking care of you. And I'm going to let you recover everything. And David recovered all. In fact, David recovered more than all physically. But what a minute. What about what happened in David's heart? David never forgot the lesson of Ziklag. And brethren, I don't know where you're at today in your life. You might be at a Ziklag. You might be sitting at the ashes of maybe your own sin or your own distrust in God. But brethren, today, let us encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. Let us search out the past blessings of God and remind ourselves, look, instead of talking about everything that's gone wrong, let's talk about what God has done in the past. And let's talk about that same God is the same God that loves us. And listen, He has not finished His work. But let's start speaking to ourselves rather than complaining to our spouses and complaining about everything else. Let's start speaking to ourselves about God and His mercy and His love and His character. And then let's seek divine direction from the Lord. Oh, listen, in every pew in this building, in every chair, there is someone who is gravely discouraged. Maybe the devil has told you things about yourself you know are true. But honestly, brethren, can I tell you something? They may be true, but it really doesn't matter to God because He loves you and cares for you. You may think, well, what I've done in the past. Listen, the past is buried in the depths of the deepest sea. God has forgiven and cleansed you. But I'll tell you what the devil does. He wants to discourage our hearts. He wants to get our eyes onto people or onto ourselves or onto other things. But this morning, let's lift our eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh our help? Our help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Let's bow our heads in prayer.